You know, when you think about it, there's only one reason why something achieves longevity. It works. Simple as that. All right, if you insist on having a second reason, then try this one on. It adapts. Definition of all of this has just been released. It's the Old Farmer's Almanac. From weather forecasts, recipes, to history, to trivia, and numerous more bits of information you didn't think you needed to know, but you'll be glad you found them out, is all featured between the covers of the 2026 edition. Joining us to give us a tour is Old Farmer's Almanac editor, Tim Goodwin. How are you today, Tim?
I'm really good today. How are you, Chris?
Great to have you back, and always great because we think of the almanac as traditional, but it's really anything but. You, as I said in the introduction, you adapt to keep up, and just the fact that you have a paper product of information that sells over 2.5 million copies, that's certainly beating the odds in this day of high tech. But there is the website, almanac.com, where you find a lot. But do you think the readers really just want to hold on to the what is the tradition of the paper and cover almanac, and just gives them a stability in what they're become used to?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty avid reader outside of work, and you know, I love having a book in my hand. But I think there's also a piece of nostalgia to it. You know, that yellow cover is something that speaks to a lot of people. You know, you don't get to 234 years without, you know, kind of that bit of passing it through the generations, you know, grandparents reading it to grandkids and parents passing along to their kids. So, you know, I think people grew up with this almanac in their house, and I think they remember holding it in their hands and thumbing through the pages. So there's a lot to that. You know, I know that we're in such a, you know, technology forward, you know, way of life right now, but there's something to be said about, you know, having a book in your hand, being able to turn those pages, go back and forth, you know, not having to stare at a screen. So I think there's a lot to, you know, actually holding the Old Farmer's Almanac in your hand.
And even though it's called the Farmer's Almanac, you pretty much handle everything from under the ground to up in space in this year's edition. But I know when it comes out, people have one big time priority. What's the weather going to be for this winter here in the Northeast? Because for if nothing else, I know our station sales staff likes to know how much snow they have to deal with to get their job done. And certainly over the road truckers, it's something important for them. But generally speaking, what are we looking at for this coming winter here in the Northeast?
Yeah, you know, it is a big pitch when it comes out. You know, everybody wants to know what to expect for the winter, and you know, I'm the same. I do love fall, so I try not to get too far ahead of myself thinking about the winter. But you know, for this year, really in the Northeast, we're looking for a more mild and dry winter. You know, when we say that, you know, we're basing our forecasts, our predictions off of, you know, averages or normals over a 30-year span. So you know, when we say mild and dry, you know, it's going to be, we're looking at those normals, and it'll be, you know, a little bit warmer temperatures and a little bit less precipitation. But don't get don't forget to break out those jackets and those boots, because there's still going to be snow, there's still going to be cold times. But you know, just overall over that course of that November to March time, you know, we're looking for a little bit warmer and a little bit drier.
You mentioned how the weather forecasts come over a 30-year period of material that you're studying and put into use. The same goes for the summer forecast, too. And looking at both of the forecasts, because you also have the summer forecast, which is hot and dry in an increasing part of the country as well. If someone is concerned or interested in whether there's an impact of greenhouse gases, climate change, what's that doing to the weather? Do you think they can, by referencing this year's map to previous year almanac maps, they can come to a conclusion that, you know what, maybe we are starting to get a little screwed with the weather here because of stuff that we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the summer map, you know, it's not quite as hot and dry as we had for this summer, which unfortunately, you know, kind of came to fruition. You know, we're up here in New Hampshire, we got a lot of hot weather. You know, we got a lot of rain early on, but it's been really dry lately. You know, I think, you know, when you're looking at those averages, we have to kind of take a little bit of stock of what's happening more recently, right? Like we're looking at, you know, how those recent summers, how those recent winters are happening. You know, maybe it's, you know, kind of revisionist history, but you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, getting these, you know, foot plus storms all the time. You know, it was snowing from the beginning of December till the, you know, beginning of March, sometimes into April. And, you know, it doesn't seem like we're getting quite those same significant storms. Maybe it's because I was a kid and the snow stacked up a little bit higher than it does now. You know, my back will tell a different story as the winter goes along about how much snow we get. But, yeah, I mean, we're looking at all different aspects of the weather when we're putting these together. You know, there is, you know, there's the weather is changing. You know, climate change is factored into our long-range forecast, you know, especially when it comes to temperatures. We're seeing a little bit more, you know, warmer temperatures. But, you know, we're basing these, you know, partly on historical data, but also adjusting, you know, those predictions to be warmer. But it's not uniform across the country, across North America. You know, polar regions are warming faster than the lower latitudes are, you know, have been for the last several decades. You know, we're seeing fewer colder winters than we were, say, 50 years ago. But, you know, and those prolonged cold stretches aren't as pronounced as they used to be, but we're still seeing those extreme colds and even really cold months. But, you know, we're seeing less, you know, multiple, like, consecutive weeks when it comes to temperatures staying, you know, 5, even 6 degrees below average.
And it's still a good news for ski areas, which we have plenty of here in the Northeast, too, because if there's less natural snow, then getting to where they are is easier, and because of cold temperatures, making the snow on their own is also easier. We're talking with Tim Goodwin, editor with the Old Farmer's Almanac, almanac.com, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And as the title does boldly state, farming is part of the features inside as well. And looking at the trends part in particular, Tim, there's a lot happening with farming. It's not just, you know, the old basics like people imagine it to be. And do you think when someone looks at your discussion of the farming trends that encourages that generational change in farming, because that's one of people's biggest fear, that the new generation just won't want to catch on to what the old generation is doing in farming. It's not inviting to them. So do you think what you're seeing in trends is maybe alleviating that fear?
I think so. You know, we owe a lot to farmers, right? I mean, they do really hard work. They deal with a lot of tough conditions. You know, a lot of times they're not able to, you know, they're at the mercy of who's buying their products. But, you know, farmers are trying to take a little bit more control back. You know, they're trying to, you know, be more of a price maker than a price taker. You know, I thought something really encouraging was, you know, this poll that we had in there was 90% of farmers would recommend, you know, to entering the profession of farming. You know, that's big, you know, especially when you're thinking of these longevity family farms, you know, when they're always looking for that next generation to take the mantle and move it forward. So I think that's really key. You know, like, agritourism has really become a boom. You know, I think a lot of people, it reset a lot of people's mindset when we went through the pandemic. You know, they started to kind of think of how can we reconnect with these resources that are down the road, these people that are, you know, our neighbors and our friends that are doing this hard work, you know. So, you know, and farms have taken advantage of that. They've really tried to add more experiences as they, you know, to their farms, and, you know, more farm stores and events, and, you know, they open it up for weddings. So, like, you know, a lot of farmers are really trying to take advantage of that, and rightfully so. You know, they want to create experience. They want people to come there for more than just picking apples or picking blueberries.
I think as well, too, when it comes to gardening, another part of the Old Farmer's Almanac, you have some great insight on as far as trends are concerned. Between the pandemic and just the price of things in the store being what they are, that's leading, at least I've always believed, that's leading a lot of people into doing their own gardening. And a lot of the stats that you present in this year's edition back that up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, gardening saw a huge increase when the pandemic. We're all stuck at home. We were looking for things to do. And, you know, what better way than to start a garden? You know, I think a lot of people learned or got back, you know, learned, became first-time gardeners or got back into it. You know, there's a percentage in there, 41% of gardeners cite lack of time as why they don't garden more. I'm in that boat. You know, I've got a couple young kids, you know, busy life, busy job, and sometimes it just doesn't quite materialize the gardens as I'd hoped for. But, you know, people, yeah, they're really trying to find new ways to not necessarily, you know, it's not like it was, and, you know, that we have a story about farming and gardening in 1776. You know, that at that point you were growing to feed your family for the year. Like, you're not doing that right now, but there's definitely ways that you can, you know, do it so you can have enough fruits and vegetables for your meals, you know, and people are looking for a little bit more fast growing, pick and eat crops, you know, smaller, you know, cherry tomatoes, compact peppers, dwarf strawberries. You know, they're really trying to connect with those local gardening centers instead of going to, you know, those big box stores necessarily. You know, they're looking for that knowledge. They're looking for those higher quality plants that are going to survive, you know, not just that year, but, you know, like bushes and shrubs that will, that you can really put in and beautify your landscape.
Wrapping up here, people ask me when I tell them that the Farmer's Almanac is out in the stores and newsstands and various other outlets, and of course the website almanac.com. They ask, what's in the almanac this year? And my answer is, what isn't in the almanac every year, from really from the ground to space, from history to new trends, from farming to gardening to eating to recipes, ways that you can be involved. And certainly as we approach the 250th anniversary of the United States, all that combined will get you into the mood of the spirit of what we should be focusing on as we go for that 250-year mark in July of next year. Find out more. Get a copy. Simple as that. And if you want to find out more online, almanac.com is the way to do that. He is the editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, Tim Goodwin. Tim, thanks for the tour of this year's edition. Enjoying it greatly, learning from it greatly. And it's a keepsake because there's something in it that you need every day for the entire year. So thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you having me on again.